It's Andrew. Today on the podcast, Luke and Phil discuss the book of Deuteronomy, which Crestview Bible has been studying on Sunday mornings. They review some of the major highlights from our 10-week series and eventually land the plane with pretty lively discussion on Deuteronomy 15 and its implications to how Christians, specifically us at CBC, can display God's heart of generosity to the poor of our community. So we hope you enjoy the conversation. Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible Church. I'm your host, Andrew, and I'm sitting here with Luke and Phil. How's it going, guys?
Great.
Good. Yeah, awesome.
Very good. Well, we're recording here late October. It's really the first day of fall, and we know this because Luke has officially switched from sandals to tennis shoes.
The momentous day.
I'm not wearing shorts. The only time I usually wear pants is on Sunday. I don't know if I could say that on the air, but yeah, it's typically shorts. Yeah.
With the change of weather comes a lot of fun things like football and fire pits, and in a week or two, Halloween.
That's
you guys
right.
Have any
right.
Halloween plans?
I got plans. Luke, what are your plans?
Well, I leave for South Asia the very next day. So I made sure that I'm not leaving until after that holiday because I know it's a big deal in my area, we have Sherman Street, so that's a block away from us. That's like the biggest street in HUD. It's like where all the old haunted houses are.
How many people came through that last year?
Over 1,000 kids came through that block. So we're just a block away. So we'll have our fire pit out. We're giving out some good stuff. We'll have sodas. We'll have hot cider again, and for the kids and the chauffeurs for the children.
Wow, good. Sounds great. Yeah, I put out a fire pit too and try to get to know my neighbors and hand out candy, and I don't have as much traffic as that, but yeah, I'm sure my kids will be on the prowl for more candy from someone.
So yeah, that'll
be good. Yeah.
I love it when people invest in their own neighborhood.
Right, yeah,
so
sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So any chance to get to know my neighbors? And here they're coming to my door. I don't even have to go to them.
Right.
So it's the best of all worlds. Yeah. So
last year we bought a bunch of candy and no one came. So I just started walking the streets. It was maybe a little creepy handing out candy to people, right. But I didn't
want
to keep
some
any
of this action?
Were you in a van? And
No, just a t-shirt.
Okay, good.
Anyway, if you haven't already, go ahead and listen to our intro podcast. We call it our baby podcast because it's short and it gives you a little bit of idea of what to expect on the Flipside podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible. And that's not in a negative way. That's more like where the good stuff is, like the bacon of what is happening at Crestview.
Bacon grease. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But today we're going to jump into more of a meaty topic, which is to review and lay out what we've been studying as a church, which is the book of Deuteronomy. And specifically, we would like to dig into Deuteronomy 15, which has a lot of implications in a practical sense, and we weren't able to give it maybe the time we would have liked from the pulpit. And so today we're going to talk about that. But before we do, Phil, I'll just throw it over to you. Why did we study Deuteronomy? What was your heart behind starting this book?
Sure. So a lot of the work that we've done in the text over the last few years, we've taken time in Paul's letters when we studied Romans and Galatians. We've studied Gospels. We've done work in John. We've also studied like general epistles. We did a series in 1 Peter recently. I've preached through the book of Revelation. And then last year around Palm Sunday, Easter time, we did a short series on Zephaniah. And of course, we've done some preaching. I've taught through Ecclesiastes, and we do sermons in the Psalms consistently. And of course, the 1st and 2nd Samuel sermon series, which everyone loved a lot. So I really wanted to get to the law. And so law, I mean the first 5 books of the Bible. And so I had 5 books to choose from, and that's where the debate came. So I knew Genesis would be a huge undertaking because Genesis has enough narrative to, you know, carry lots of stories. It would probably be like 50 sermons or something, you know, to get through Genesis. And there's lots of implications there. And I had taught Exodus to the students. And so the challenge in Exodus is what are the chapters, Luke?
Well, you'd have, I when you first came to me, you're like, I think I'm doing Exodus. And I'm like, you do realize that you have 15 chapters that's just dealing with the tabernacle and right. the length of this curtain and right. the color of this ring. And I'm like, sure. that's going to be brutal for right. 10 straight weeks.
Right. So Leviticus obviously is all the holiness commands. Numbers has some narrative. That would have been fun. But I chose to go Deuteronomy for a couple reasons. One, it's kind of Moses is kind of giving a sermon that lays out for us all that kind of is summarized in the law. So in there, we have the themes of God creating a people for himself. We have the rescue out of Egypt. We have a summary of law. And then we have Moses applying it. So, I mean, I think the key verse for me is that Deuteronomy 30, where God says, I will circumcise your heart. I will give you a new heart and you'll love me with all your heart and your soul. So just seeing it build, seeing the book build to that point was pretty amazing for me to walk through. But yeah, why Deuteronomy 15? That seems to be a huge thing. Or do we need to say something more about?
Well, you also had people that were pretty scared coming into this.
Oh, right. Yeah, for sure.
They were like, what are you doing giving us law? This doesn't seem like, first of all, I don't need that in this point of my life. That right. just keep telling me what to do. I'm beaten. I'm broke down, and now you're going to tell me you better get with it. And so,
yeah.
you had people that come up and tell you, "What are you doing?"
Right, I did. Yeah, I had people ask me like, "Why are we studying this book?" And every time I've heard a sermon on this, it's nothing but do.
If you don't, then curse.
You know. So, what's the genius behind this? And I hope as we've walked through it that you've been able to see how it points to God and points to his plan to redeem a people and ultimately in some ways points to Jesus. So I was wanting to show that. And then also I think the law itself, we have to kind of come to terms with what that means. So, you know, there's a reason like we don't practice certain laws today because they are fulfilled in Christ. And then there's times in the Bible where Jesus kind of, you know, you shouldn't commit adultery. That's reiterated in the New Testament. We know that's, you know, timeless for us as a people. So navigating all that, you'll sometimes have people be like, yeah, you Christians are so hypocritical. You know, you're wearing clothing that has blended fibers and, you know, they'll take some minutia part of the law. Like you're not offering sacrifices. Well, yeah, of course we're not, because the purpose of those kinds of laws were to separate and make the people distinct from the other nations that were worshiping other gods. And then all the sacrifices were pointing to one sacrifice that would be given once for all so that we could have eternal life. So, I mean,
does that mean I can cut my beard however I want? Is that right. What you're telling me?
Well, whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to make a comment on your beard, but, yeah. So, I mean, that's the idea that you can, you know, having an understanding of what that all means. So I don't know if I got into that as deeply as we needed to, but there were a lot of choice points along the way where we were intentionally trying to keep it within like 8 to 10 weeks, something like that. And so that's why we landed where we did. And there's one part of it that you've already kind of heard that we want to talk about a little bit today, and that's Deuteronomy 15. And in Deuteronomy 15, we have like an amazing text, right? That does he say that there will be no more poverty or
no, he says there shall be no poor among you.
Yeah, right.
That's
and then
pretty strong
in the same
statement.
Breath, he's going to say like
seven verses later, he
the
says
the poor you'll always have with you. Right. So it relates to us because what do we do with people who might be, you know, seeking a handout from us or seeking help or financial assistance from us? What do we owe them? What's God calling us to do? What was his heart in the law and which of that applies to us and just all these different questions. So we wanted to dig into that a little bit today.
Well, the question is, what's the real mandate here?
Yeah.
Is it that there shall be no poor among God's people, among us, or we'll always have poor among us? So do we just relegate to that fact?
Yeah.
Right. Which one are we going to live up to? Are we going to, we'll go with the second one, or do we want, no, we want God's heart that,
right.
So which one is he actually calling us to?
Yeah, right. Yeah, And so I think my understanding of the text was that he's definitely calling us to be generous, and he's calling us to be generous just like he has all over the scriptures in a way that probably costs us something. You know, it's easy to be generous when it's not going to inconvenience us at all. You know, we can do that real easily, but when it's going to be costly to us, then it's more difficult to be like radically generous. So, and the model for that is Christ, right? So God in his generosity didn't hold back. He gave us everything that we needed for life and godliness through his son. He gave him and he died for us. So that's the model. And of course, none of us are going to give our only sons, you know, like in that way, but it's a call to have a loose hold on stuff of this world for the good of others. I don't know what else stood out to you through that.
Well, I remember when you were going through that, you're trying to talk this whole slave mentality and how that's awkward in our 21st century mind is, what does he mean by, hey, you're going to have this slave with you for 7 years, and then you'll release him. But then we talked to somebody in the community that had a different take on what they meant by slave.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, we have a real good friend who is doing work on the front lines of this ministry opportunity. I mean, just giving his life in every step of the way. And he was saying that understanding in that world was that you were training people to be apprentices, that you were helping them to learn a trade so that they could go out from you, no longer not just be a slave, but to be an apprentice under you, so that they could go and have success as they went out from your service. And really huge thing when we think about that I think a lot of times when we think of generosity, we're thinking just in terms of money, and we forget mm-hmm. elements like time, the relationship, the relational capital that we have to give to people that can make an impact in their life, that can help them move in just really small ways. Sometimes we make it way too complicated that, well, I'm not sure, you know, we kind of immediately reach for our back pocket so that nobody touches our money whenever someone needs something. But we have all kinds of different ways that we can be generous to others. And I think God's heart for us in that passage, which we could see fleshed out in New Testament passages too, is that, you know, he wants us as a community to have open hands. I think you worded it this way. We have open hands as a church, as a corporate entity, so that there aren't individuals with open hands in need around us. Mm-hmm. We're just ready to respond to needs.
Right.
Yeah.
And going back to the different mandates. So there will be no poor among you, versus there will be poor among you, yeah, right? So which is it, Lord? My understanding is his heart is that first one. There's going to be no poor among you. That's the new heavens, the new earth, right? There is no there is no poor among us in those, right? But the problem is, as God understands it, we're screwed up. We're messed up. Right. And there's going to be poor among us because there's greedy people that are going to take advantage. There's going to be people that make poor choices. And so that's going to be a reality in the broken world that we're in. Now, what we should live up to, hey man, like, yes, let's let there be no poor among us. Let's be so generous that even though it's almost impossible because of the world that we live in with sin and rebellion and brokenness, I'm going to work towards that. I'm going to work towards seeing Christ's kingdom right here on earth where there is no poor among us.
And, you know, I think when we even approach living that way, it does affect our witness and it does affect the mission, right?
Yeah.
You know, so when you live that way, when you live an open-handed, generous lifestyle, it's something that the world doesn't really have a category for, where you expect nothing in return. So we get a lot of the calls at church, and a lot of it is like, you know, hey, if you just loan me this, I'll pay you back. And, you know, I never am thinking they're ever going to be able to pay us back, you know, but that's the heart of people. They don't understand why someone would be open-handed, generous to them and not expect something in return. So they're immediately ready to enter into a contract with us. Like, we'll do this, you do this. And
that kind of sounds like something that Jesus said, right?
Right.
That said, hey, doesn't everybody love someone who gives back in return, who also loves in return? But it's a whole nother kind of love, almost a supernatural love, a love that I have to give you, which is love when there is nothing in return, love when they might hate you. So isn't that the kind of generosity we're called to?
Right. Yeah, I think so. And it's, I mean, yeah, just the effect that that has on the watching world, the world that's looking for some compelling picture of what Christ looks like. When they see that modeled, they, wow, this is incredible, you know, that you would do this. And there's a sense in which we as a congregation do that really well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are really generous, and you know, we see that in like our giving each week. We see that as people give their time and energy. But I think there's also ways in which we can grow in that. We certainly haven't arrived. We're certainly not, you know, we don't have all the answers. We can't like break our arms patting ourselves on the back. There's still growth for us to do. So, I mean, what do you think?
Because there's growth in me too, right?
Right, for sure.
So I'm thinking a lot of times I'm like, well, all right, I've helped you out 7 times. So that's about enough now. Right. It seems like now you're trying to take advantage. Yeah. And then someone else's words rings in my ears. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Right. But I don't can't remember who said that.
Right. Somebody influential. Let's just put it that way.
Maybe my boss.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. No, but that's, yeah, it's so true. And, you know, so there's, I think I on the one hand, I want to commend our congregation and I'm grateful for them because they embody this in so many ways. And yet I also want to spur them on, like, who else is there that needs to see, you know, your generosity? And not for the sake of, you know, giving in such a way so that everybody knows, like in the, we don't want to give in the Sermon on the Mount way where it's all about us and the extravagant show of our generosity. But for the sake of the mission, we're going to be generous so that the world can see the kind of people we are that have been changed by the gospel, and then they give glory to God in heaven. So, yeah, there are still other people that need to see that. And, man, it's so, yeah, it's just so incredible to be caught in the crossfire of those, the two mandates, right? Verse 4,
right.
Verse 11.
Right.
The poor will always have with us, but God's heart is that there would be no poor among us. So that's a hard place to live. And you probably have questions. So if you're listening to this and you just have questions, man, grab us. If you have an insight, we'd love to, because we're still trying to learn these things too. We, you know, so grab us and let us know like what insight you have and how you're trying to step into this. We'd love to have those conversations.
Yeah. So Luke had approached me about this question before, just as a man not of the cloth, what are some objections on this topic, some problems? And as I thought through it, I just came face to face with this tension of the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, that the heart, and I think this is true of many of the congregation, our hearts long to be generous, but we don't always know the best way to step into that. And it's very hard. So is there any encouragement that you could give to me and to a lay person how to be more generous, but not burdening us more than is necessary?
Right. Yeah. And our heart, you know, I think God's heart is not that I'm going to give you a law to make you miserable. You know, his heart is that I'm going to put in the fabric of the law my heart so that you can see how generous I am towards others. So I think on one level, to get at the motive when you're struggling to be generous, I think the motive is to look at Christ, to look at how he gave all, to look at how he cared for, you know, he was on the lookout, ready to show compassion to people. There was nobody who was beyond the scope of his glance. And, you know, he's always busting the Pharisees' chops because, you know, they are tithing the mint and the dill and the cumin, but they're neglecting people, and it's the problem, right? So they might be doing well in this, but they're neglecting the weightier portions, which is loving people. And so begin with that, you know. So the first encouragement, I guess, in terms of application would be just think about your heart, what's driving your heart. If you're trying to fulfill something so that you can please God or do something that can impress him, he's already given his son. We're not going to improve on that, you know. But when we're looking for the motivation, we can look to Christ, and there's power there through his spirit. But I think in a real practical way, you know, I think it's a lot of it is just realizing this isn't our final destination. This isn't our home. A lot of it is just like, we know from stats, right, that the most generous people in the world, what we're told by people who look at all the stats they're giving, the most generous people in the world are not the wealthiest. The most generous people in the world are those who are in poverty because they're giving all the time. And so, I mean, that's like an indictment. Well,
mostly because they know what it's like to be poor.
Right, right.
And they know. And so they're like, my heart goes out to you. It reminds us of another thing Jesus said, of the one who has been forgiven much loves much.
Right.
So someone who's walking in poverty knows what that's like and knows what it's like to receive. And so they're like, man, you need this way more than even though I need it, and I'm going to give this to you.
Yeah.
And that's the church in Macedonia, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. They were earnestly begging for the favor to give towards Paul and the mission. It wasn't like Paul was pulling teeth, but he was ready. They were ready to give. And really the encouragement that I also give is when people are just, I'm struggling. I want to give, but it's a struggle for me. Is my encouragement is take your eyes off yourself, and look to Christ. Yeah. So like, kind of like what you're saying, he's got everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, as we hear all the time in all these books.
Mansions, but in heaven.
It's such a hot term right now. But I mean, seriously, I mean, he's going to be faithful to you. You keep your eyes on the kingdom and off of yourself. I mean, so many times I hear, well, what about me? What about my family? What about who's going to take care of me? God's going to take care of you. Right. I mean, that's the whole thing of, that's what faith is, right? Is believing that he can do this, that he's going to be able to carry you. And entrusting yourself into him. And part of that application looks like, hey, I'm just going to, even though this might look like a idiotic thing to do, which is to give into this, I know that he's going to take care, even though he's going to take care of those needs at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So taking your eyes off yourself, looking to him, it goes a long way.
Yeah.
Well, we're running up against the edge of our time. We want to make this a palatable and short time where we can just dig into it quickly in the midst of your commute to work, your commute to church. So we're just so grateful that you would join this conversation. We hope it blesses you as we continue to finish up Deuteronomy this weekend and continue to love one another moving forward and love our community better. So thanks for joining us on the Flipside Podcast. We'll catch you next time.